The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott. This is Free Fire Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Your talk radio, your town hall of the air with Carl and Linda Bott. Good morning. Here on the 25th of September, 2019, and the news is brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Caring, compassion, and community. Shasta Regional Medical Center. Good morning to Sue.
Good morning, Carl.
Yeah, Sue comes in and everything's turned off. I wonder why that happens.
We have a Tuesday night.
We have a Tuesday night. So I'm going to go slap some fingers. No, spanking
is what they're going to get.
Spanking. You don't turn everything else off. Good morning, Linda.
Good morning, and good morning, Sue.
Good morning. You look lovely today.
Well, thank you, Sue, to you. I think, what is it? Do we get the blue memo?
It is the blue memo.
It's a blue memo. Okay.
I received it
Wednesday.
Everything.
Hey, today's going to be hot. You know, I'm not, I don't know what it is. It's like, you know, maybe I had the air conditioning on in the room. In the rooms yesterday, and so we joined some friends last night for, well, let's just say Kelly Verhoog.
Kelly Verhoog's
was her birthday. So we went over to Mosaic.
What a lovely lady.
And a lovely group of friends that were there to celebrate her, like, milestone birthday. And
like we made some new friends last night.
And you know what was really interesting? I mean, this group, I have no problem doing this. The entire group, and there must have been 15, were there 20 of us?
No, it wasn't that many.
Anyway, so everybody, before we began to eat, everybody shared hands, and we did a prayer at the table.
Yeah.
Right there in I love that. I love, you know, like, hey, that is so good, and it was great, and it was a, you know, wonderful moment of gratitude of, you know, the Verhoogs lost their home in the fire. And just watching their journey of coming together and so many other people and what they do in order to, you know, put their love out. Kelly does so many things. She's an unsung hero in many ways. So happy birthday. And Mosaic, you did a great job. My God, you know, individual orders, that takes a brain. I don't know, you know, like, how many do you want? We'll dip that and individuals. So thank you to Mosaic. Okay, so what I was getting to, too, is that once we walked out at 5 or 6 o'clock at night, it's hot outside. You know, just not, you know, it's, we've been up and down. So today, temperatures are going to be about 100 degrees. Our lows will be 68. Tomorrow calls for another hot day with our highs of 98 and overnight lows of 62. See that big jump? So always be ready for that. Friday calls for sunny with around 86, partly cloudy Friday night, 77 on Saturday, mostly clear with the overnight lows. Now we get to Sunday. We have a slight chance of showers. Now look at this temperature drop. Today's 100. Sunday will be 71. So again, a get ready. Always think about hydrate, meditate, you know, take care of yourself right now. With these lots of temperature jumps going on. And Sunday night, a slight chance of showers. And Monday, chance of showers. And again, Tuesday, we go with sunny with a high near 72. So weather is brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane, locally owned and operated, where they give senior and veteran discounts. Now, the new Enjoy magazine has been delivered, and we cannot express our gratitude enough to Rhonda Ball and James Masada, who worked so hard in making that magazine go on for 14 years and Enjoy the Store. Well, they did a wonderful article on our 10th anniversary, and I'm so proud. I can't wait, you know, to send it to family members and send it out. I walked in the store yesterday because I needed to purchase a few items. Didn't even realize that it came out. But anyway, so check it out. The new Enjoy article that they've done on our station. And we had their writer interviewed us over the phone. So Carl and I had the phone on speakerphone. It would have been like we were at a, you know, at a cocktail or a coffee chat. We just, bleh. And she really, in a very, you know, like page and a half article, really got exactly the heartbeat of what, of who we are, how we met, and why we're doing what we're doing. In 10 years, we are so grateful, and we thank all of the people. The reason I want to talk about Shasta Gas Propane, if we think about, my God, we've had some of these same people that have believed in us and have advertised with us since day one. And, you know, we sit back, we express our gratitude for, you know, Four Winds Jewelry and Crackmaster and Alliance Heating and Air and Shasta Gas Propane, Five Star Bank, Tobacco and Brew. I hope I'm not leaving anybody out, but, you know, we've had, you know, Shasta Regional.
There's so many.
That have been with us since day one. And, you know, we've had, you know, the community, in like any business, you kind of go up and down. And how about Holiday Harbor? We just recently experienced Holiday Harbor, another veteran owned.
If we try to thank every sponsor that's been with us for 10 years, it's going to be the whole show. Because we've had a lot of support from our community. No, we've just had a lot of support from our community.
Yes, and I'm feeling a big love in my heart right now.
Yeah, and so we just do. We just want to say is
big loves.
You know, people are saying, oh, gosh, it's great, 10 years, but we couldn't have done it without you. I mean, at all couldn't have done it without
you. And our staff.
And our staff. I mean, the ones that put up with us for this long. We've had people that were here for the whole 10 years and then retired and moved away.
Right.
We've had
Mr.
others
Bob
that have been here with us for 8 years. Others who have, you know, changed their lives and everything and moved on. But we've had, Jared's been here for 4 years. You know, and, Sue has been in this building for 112 years.
Exactly.
She shifted over from, her last station that went under and came over to us. Didn't miss
Thank
a day.
You so much. So, we appreciate, well, KLXR, let's just talk about Mike Quinn. Mike Quinn was sitting on this. We talk about that a lot, but it's important because that's, somebody had to open their doors in order for us to do what we did. So we always will thank Mike Quinn. And we've seen Sue, and as a consummate professional, used to do the morning show with Jimbo every single day, rain, shine, sick, whatever. Sue was here. And, so we asked her when KLXR decided to, you know, change whatever they were doing and decided to go dark for a while. We took over this front spot and talked to Mike. It's all been amicable, which is how I like to live my life, and asked Sue to join us. So anyway, I know I'm carrying on, but it's just kind of like last night really made me think about what, you know, community and love and respect and is all about.
You know what it made me think about?
Do you want to talk headlines at all?
Getting into my bed, my Sleep Number bed.
I know.
That's what I thought
about. We had a late night.
Anyway, you know, right now the Sleep Number has partnered up with the NFL. And right now over 1,800 NFL players are now sleeping on the Sleep Number beds. I think the Miami Dolphins need more time in bed, or maybe less time in bed and more time on the practice field. Now, the reason this is because it wanted to, the NFL wanted to get with Sleep Number so that their players could get a better night's sleep, which better night's sleep means that you're going to have a better game in most cases. So, but what's it mean to people like you and me? People that are not professional athletes, don't weigh 380 pounds. It just means that
it's a reason that they partner with the NFL.
Yeah, it means is that you can get a great night's sleep. Linda and I have had our bed for 5 years. We've never slept better. We can each pick the firmness of our side of the bed. My Sleep Number setting is 60.
And sometimes when we forget and it stays at 100,
uh-huh,
because that can happen,
uh-huh,
it still is a great night's sleep. But my sleep number setting changes all the time. Lately, I've been hanging out at 45, but last night I did 55.
Okay. And, you know, right now you can go down and get a Sleep Number bed for $999. Yeah, that's right, $999 with the Sleep IQ technology that moves and adjusts to you as you move during the night. It doesn't get any better than that. Sleep Number, down at the Target Shopping Center, go on in. Tell them Carl and Linda sent you. Lay on the bed, feel what it's like, and I guarantee you, you will never have a better night's sleep. We'll be right back after these messages, 7:14 in the morning, and here on the 25th of September.
We'll do a little headlines when we get back.
At Shasta Regional Medical Group, we're focused on the health matters that matter to you, like preventive care. Our physicians are committed to keeping you healthy with the right vaccines and wellness checks for your children. For seniors, we can review prescriptions to make sure you're on track. At Shasta Regional Medical Group, you have an integrated network of caregivers and specialists working to serve you in a compassionate, patient-centered environment. We're conveniently located right across the street from Shasta Regional Medical Center. to make an appointment, call Shasta Regional Medical Group today at 605-4260 or visit us online at ShastaRegionalMedicalGroup.com. Shasta Regional Medical Group. Your primary care is our primary concern.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living, and wanted to share some thoughts from Dave Setholter about his experience having his mother-in-law, Marianne, move here to River Commons.
Originally, my mother-in-law wanted to live on her own, and she really wanted to be independent. River Commons has really made that possible for her to not only remain independent, but to actually grow and to thrive. There's just such a big difference in her peace of mind and her well-being, and that's what we really wanted. It's really been the solution for her to come here, and it was her idea. After looking at some other options, when she came here, it was an easy choice for her. She's really happy she did. She feels like she's home. It's enriching. She's meeting new people, really enjoying herself, and that's really what it's all about.
Call today and schedule a tour or luncheon a tour and see for yourself why our residents love living here at River Commons. Call 221-2121 or on the web at river-commons.com.
Native American Day giveaway at Wind River Resort and Casino. Win a Harley Davidson just in time for Big Bike Weekend. It's simple. Spin the reels on any slot machine. Every 200 points gets you an entry. Earn four times entries on Tuesdays and Thursdays. Drawing is Friday, September 27th at 6 p.m. just before the Beaumont Boys concert. 14 winners, $100 free slot play. Grand prize winner, a brand new Harley Davidson from Redding Harley Davidson. Wind River Resort and Casino. You win.
That doesn't happen to men.
It's not just a woman's issue.
It only happened once.
I will intervene.
But he's such a nice guy.
We will look out for each other.
What did she think would happen?
I will step in.
It's just the way people are.
It's on us to change the future for our children.
We will change the culture.
Get involved. One safe place. OSPShasta.org/change the culture.
Bethel and Brew, located at 2143 Hilltop Drive, has been an integral part of our community for over 40 years. They have supported the veterans, law enforcement, fire and disaster survivors throughout this whole time. Tobacco and Brew has expanded their walk-in humidor and brought to the North State new lines of fine cigars, pipes, and tobacco products. Additionally, they are offering a pipe bar to try out new tobacco for taste and aroma. Tobacco and Brew is your one-stop shop for any tobacco product and accessories to include lighters, humidors, pouches, and more. Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive.
And now, Carl and Linda Botts. This is Free Fire Radio.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Good morning, everybody. And I'd like to also do a shout-out from last night for all the people we met. Mr. Gallagher and Scott. And, it was everybody there that was really nice. That we were talking to. All are from around town here. Some of them are going to probably end up on the show. Some of them got some really interesting stories.
Yeah, they did. This is really nice.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Shasta Regional Medical Center have put more specialists, put more doctors, have taken the emergency room and made it something that what it exactly is supposed to be. It's emergencies. So you're seeing quickly. In 30 minutes or less, sometimes 20 minutes. Their average is well under 30 minutes right now. They've got more people working there, more trained physicians. They're going to make sure you get seen quick, and so you can be treated quick because it is an emergency. Treat what's going on and then get you out of there, which is what you want to be. So that's Shasta Regional Medical Center. Hey, yesterday was the State of the City, and you don't see anything else except Julie Winter, Mayor Julie Winter, without telling the city council about it, set up something so that she apologized to the Native Americans in our community, if I've got this right. She apologized for the genocide, for the violence perpetrated against their ancestors in America. On the stage with her was Jack Potter. And she wanted to acknowledge, and a couple others, we'll get their names, acknowledge the many wrongs perpetrated on Redding's Wintu people, including systematic genocide. She learned of the Wintus historical treatment while she was in leadership ready and education program. She heard about the government seizing Native Americans' land in the past, driving Native peoples from the traditional villages. I'm just surprised that it took her to 2012 to hear that. I mean, you know, just as an aside here, because I think this is pretty common knowledge. The state paying a $5 bounty for each Native American's head in 1860. That was the state. You know, when you think about, you know, the word reparations. So what's happened is the Native Americans in many communities have come back. They've come back, you know. Yeah, this is my land, and they put a casino on it. Guess what? That helps the tribe. If you go to some of these reservations today, and I've been there, it is despair. There is no hope. The suicide rate among the teenagers is the highest in the nation. Alcoholism, drug use, murders, rape. I mean, it is just, the numbers are just appalling.
Not all peoples. It's just, if you...
On some of the larger reservations, they're like this.
Yes.
I've seen it. I've been there. And yet, when you have something like Redding Rancheria, who has taken a small piece of land and made a success of it, and then want to grow their success, they're met by opposition from the city, Julie Winter. Oh, no. She signed that letter, too, saying, oh, no, they don't need to expand. They've got enough. I wonder if when I hear things like that, you know, that she says that acknowledging the past will hopefully bring some healing to a painful part of our local history. Well, I hope it does, too. I mean, but on the stage with her was Jack Potter from Redding Rancheria, a tribal chairman of the Wintu tribe, Gary Rickard, and tribal chieftain and spiritual leader of the Winneman Wintu, Colleen Sisk, and her son, who they sang a traditional song. With sincere humility and genuine sorrow, I apologize for the great injustices that were perpetrated on your families and grieve that you were not protected by your local government and your people have suffered to this day. While you can do nothing to take away the past, we can commit to educating the community about your stories, your heritage, your history, your arts, and your culture, and try to ensure that the Redding Rancheria never expands beyond what they have. I just added that last part. And how she talked about that. She says that has both sparked controversy and support. The tribe now owns the land but needs federal approval. The city council recently sent a letter of opposition to the federal government opposing the room, reflecting some citizens' concerns about congestion, business competition, loss of tax revenue if the land is taken into trust. Well, yeah, but there's lots of people who also agree that they should. And the city council, I mean, is this, I don't know, if this is some grandstand gesture to try and bring back from what they did, to, you know, from this letter of opposition instead of this letter of neutrality. And the other city council members didn't know this was going to happen. I find that interesting, too. But I think she's right. Okay, Julie was right in this, is maybe this was the time to apologize to the Native Americans, to our community here, who were systematically eradicated, who were pushed off their lands, who were treated shabbily. And now it's as it starts to turn and it starts the as the process has come back and they're trying to expand out and make their lives better and make the lives of many people here in Redding better, we're still opposing it. I just find it interesting.
I guess that, you know, as you're talking about this, of course, we had other commitments yesterday. We did not attend, but I get the thing that conjured up in my mind while you were reading yesterday's events was if this were your family, let's say a couple generations ago, and you're from Holland. Your Holland community came out and, well, I can't even compare that because Native Americans have been here for how long? I mean, you know, people came from Holland. They came over from another land. But just imagine if you had been here for, you know, hundreds of years and all of a sudden you're told by the white man, a lot of, you know, what happened in the army and such, is that you, if you're on that creek, we're going to kill you, because that's our creek now.
Well, you know,
it's our creek. We're just taking it over.
If you want to compare it to something, you can compare it to. Well, you know, okay, I don't want to be, okay, I'm starting to be a revisionist here in history. America was moving to the West, and the agreements that they made with the Native Americans were broken, systematically broken. The buffalo was hunted almost to extinction with the Army's approval, with the Army's approval, because they knew that was the store, that was the pantry of the Plains Indians, was the buffalo. Without the buffalo, it would reduce their ability to live on the move, because their whole culture was nomadic in the plains. When you get around here, it wasn't nomadic. They had farms and everything. The Native Americans did. The Native Americans along the coast had their fishing. If you just read Dauntless Courage about Lewis and Clark, all the tribes they saw as they moved through there and the different cultures they ran into. And even back at that time, their contacts with Europeans of all nationalities, how it had changed the tribes, how all of a sudden there was gonorrhea in the tribes. Never been there before. But then as they kept moving, the Native American was thought to be a lesser individual, not even a person, almost like a slave. So it was okay to do this. Okay, so you fast forward. We fought a war, partially fought a war because of the genocide that was happening in Europe. Millions of people being killed by Hitler and his minions. And if you think about it, you know, that was a systematic approach to eradicating a whole type of people, a whole religion, a group of people, a religious group. And, you know, we fought. Part of the war was fighting for that. And then even today, what has happened to the Native Americans is still impacting on them. They're still in the reservations. Now, people are saying, well, just do away with reservations and assimilate into the culture. Well, it's a lot more than that. You have no idea what that reservation, what that means to people. It's spiritual. It's family. You know, I've had great Marines that were Navajos. Navajos in the Marine Corps have had a long tradition, Navajo code talkers. We took a whole platoon of young Navajos when I was on independent duty and recruited them and sent them through boot camp together. And you talk about an experience. That is, someday I'll talk about this. I wish I could find my friend who was a recruiting officer that lived on the reservation practically. Because they have, you know, we were tied, the Marine Corps, with the Native Americans. I had great Navajo kids in there. They do 4 years, do a great job. Now, some of them decided to stay in, as my friend Donald Jim did. His father was a career Marine, and he's a, you know, full-blooded Navajo.
Still calls you a Marine Corps birthday
year. Yeah, well, he's my combat buddy, and you don't forget things like that. But a lot of these kids would go back to the res. Even though that there really wasn't a job there, but they went back to the res because it was their family. It was that spiritual thing to them. So we're going to have to bring in Jack Potter and a couple other people and try to explain to people what this means to them, that it's more than just a piece of land. You know, it represents so much. And so they took that land. They started a bingo game, and then built Wind River. Okay, over the years. And now they've got other land and trust. They want to expand. And frankly, to say that, oh, we just don't think you're being good neighbors. Well, guess what? And anytime I hear, well, look how beautiful that land is they're going to build on. Well, can you imagine how beautiful Reading was before we shot them, kicked them off the land, and built on it? I mean, the arguments are specious. Anyway, I know I'm kind of on a high horse here, but I've done a lot of studies on the military history with Native Americans and what happened there and how we betrayed our Apache scouts who fought against, you know, different tribes will fight against different tribes, but they were the only reason we were able to bring the Apaches to heel was because we had Apache scouts. And what did they do at the end of it? They stripped their guns from them and put them on the same train that was heading to Florida with the people they'd just been fighting against. You know? You see things like that. Anyway, hey, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back after these messages. This portion of the show brought to you by Northern Firearms Instruction. Northern Firearms Instruction has got a new class going. You got to give them a call at 530-999-1822 or check out US Gun Pro. If you don't want to get a concealed carry, but you want to shoot, learn how to shoot, learn how to handle a gun responsibly, how to use a handgun safely, give Northern Firearms Instruction a call, because they've got a class going and it's perfect for people that just want to learn to shoot. And if the price point's good, guns and ammo are provided for that class if you don't have one. 7:30 in the morning, we'll be right back after these messages. Carl on the Debot, KCNR.
KCNR Shasta is also broadcasting at K243CT Reading.
Tune in to North State Now Thursday nights at 6 p.m. on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Our show features yours truly, Linda Bott, with Michelle Slade, Enjoy the Magazine, and Dr. Orna Gill, featuring music, art, health, wellness, shopping, and more.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? Every week there's a new chapter. To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program, Sunday morning at 9 a.m. on KCNR 1460 AM with your hosts, Wynn Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson State of Mind.
Celebrating 20 years in business, Five Star Bank is a community business bank serving small to medium-sized businesses and is a champion of local economic development and community stewardship. Five Star Bank was founded in 1999 by a group of local entrepreneurs who wanted to create personalized banking services inspired by shared vision and goals. Today, Five Star Bank is among the top 5% of performing banks in the nation for banks of its size. Five Star Bank proudly serves farmers, ranchers, and growers in the agricultural community, commercial real estate developers and construction, those who lead nonprofits, profits and churches, and entrepreneurs in emerging technology. Five Star Bank is also committed to small businesses through a robust SBA department. They understand that when it comes to business, timing is critical. Their sense of urgency and speed to serve are part of the foundation of their success. Visit fivestarbank.com and visit your local branch at 358 Hartnell in Reading. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
Hi, this is Chuck Kinney of Shasta Gas Propane. Our company motto is, our customers are warm friends. We are demonstrating our commitment to this motto by helping those in our area that lost their homes in the car fire and are moving onto their property in an RV during the rebuilding process. We can hook up a 120-gallon propane tank to your RV gas system and deliver gas to your property so you won't have to disconnect your 7-gallon cylinder and take it somewhere to get it filled, then reconnect it and relight your pilots. We will deliver and connect the tank at no charge, then discount the price of the propane. Give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793. We want to help you during this stressful time.
I think one great benefit to having a Turtle Bay membership, I love that it's one place we can go to and bring our family, and there's something for everybody. There's activities for our one-year-old to do, and there's also exhibits and things for our six-year-old to do, and it's just a good variety of things for all ages.
We're members of Turtle Bay because I think education is really important, and I think kids need to learn that they can learn out of the classroom and learn in real life, and I think Turtle Bay brings that experience to them as they can see things that they see out and about outside of school and learn something.
Hear us streaming 24/7 at KCNR1460.com.
Oh, yeah.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio. KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio, your town hall of the air, your arts and entertainment channel of the radio air here. And I'm going to live forever. You know what? We'd say, we're going out. Everybody dies.
True.
Just not today.
Just not today.
Just not
68
today.
68 degrees in the downtown studios on this beautiful Wednesday, 7:35 in the morning. And this portion of the show is brought to you by Maxwell Insurance. Now, we did get a call from a girlfriend yesterday who's lives up in the Sunset West area, and all of a sudden she got a notice that, hey, her insurance, fire insurance or whatever insurance has been canceled because of a zip code.
Would not be renewed. So they didn't cancel them, so they gave her like a month.
Oh, okay. Well, somebody. So now she's – so we turned her on to Judy Maxwell, who's working with a lot of people who are experiencing this right now after the fires, even though it's been right downtown. You know, it's like, geez, because your zip code. But anyway, Maxwell Insurance and Financial, all your insurance and financial needs under one roof, helping families, seniors, and veterans, business owners since 1993. She's located on Hilltop Drive, 221-0441. That's Maxwell Insurance.
You know, periodically we have this young man roll in here. It's not all the time because he just doesn't come in to say hello. He only comes in if he wants something.
Although we had somebody else who came in and said hello.
Wade Riggs came in just to say hello. Say, hey, how
buddy.
You doing? Yeah,
hey,
yeah,
Wade.
Good. And Scott, though, is the conductor of our North State Center.
Scott Seaton.
And just has, but how's it long it been? 2 years? Three?
It's my fifth year.
No,
oh,
see,
no.
You need to wake
no.
up.
5 years? It's been 5 years.
I'm a senior citizen now, yeah.
Oh, no, it's unbelievable. And we remember when...
You know what? I would have bet money it was like 3 years
we
ago.
We were interviewing Scott when they were looking to see who was going to take that position. And there were three or four different, you know, people that came mm-hmm. in. And then they chose you. And you have just done a spectacular job, not only for the audience, but also for the musicians that play. You keep them guessing, you keep it creative, you keep it on a level, when we attended, we saw all ages that were there, which was so great. So we really encourage people to go to the North State Symphony and see you and Chico in here in Reading. And so what do you have to share with us today besides this incredible player that's going to be in a series that you've got coming up?
Well, first of all, next time I'm walking down Market, I will stop in randomly.
Thank you. Do it.
Bombard
just
the
randomly
studio.
Just come in and I'll say, you know, I just don't have time, Scott. Why don't you call? No. You know what? Scott Seaton, for 5 years, you know what? You have awakened in
yes.
me.
Ooh, that's good.
You
awakened
have awakened
in me.
In me a like other things that Linda has.
Toes are curling.
But the you know, but a love of the of classical music and of symphony. Uh-huh. You have made it so that people are enjoying it. People that didn't know anything about it. You know, I've got two people holding their feet up because it's curling their toes. I'm not exactly sure what that means.
Well, that can mean a lot of things.
But you know, if people who have not been there, uh-huh. they've just missed out. Just totally missed out.
You know, there's nothing like getting together in a large room with 500 to 1,000 of your closest friends and experiencing the power of live music. And the great thing about a classical concert is that you can hear music on stage and you can see the musicians playing, you can feel the energy, and yet every single person in the room can feel something completely different. And that's what I love about this art form, is that it's not, you know, it's not Lady Gaga, it's not Garth Brooks. They don't tell you what to think, generally speaking, unless there's text. And you're allowed to feel whatever you want. So that's at least one of the many reasons that you should check out the North State Symphony.
Well, another reason is this. Scott talks about what's
educates
happening.
Educates you about
before,
the...
Before it starts.
The mm-hmm. composition.
Tells
the
you about it. You introduce the artist.
Yeah.
You know, you talk about the artist, but you talk about what's going to happen, what you're going to hear, mm-hmm. and before it starts. So you just don't go walking in there and try to figure out, okay, this concerto or this. You explain this and about the
period of time, what the composer was going through,
all of that, and then you sit back and then you everything then flows through, and you've got a basis
right
from where it's set. I mean, and most of us have not heard some of the music. Most of the music you pick, not most, but you'll pick something that everybody's heard.
Right.
But then you'll have other parts to it. You know, that this one was written by a guy whose hands were so big that nobody else could play it because his hands were so big.
Right,
and then when
he
never played it. He had written it, if I remember right. And he had never played it.
I know who you're talking about. You're talking about Franz Liszt.
Yes, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes. And because this guy was huge, he had huge hands. But they said, have you ever played it? He goes, no. And I think they, you know, then he did. But
yeah, yeah.
You had an artist on that mm-hmm. played that.
Oh, yeah.
We've talked to people who have been concert pianists, a Russian lady.
Yeah.
And the stretching of her fingers. Oh, no. I mean, she would stretch her fingers. They had these things that would stretch her fingers so she could reach
yep.
the keys. See, all these things I never knew.
All right, moving along. So let's talk about,
what
like,
I'm saying is, this is not just sitting down with a bunch of long hairs and listening to da-da-da-da-da-da. No, no.
No.
Long hairs.
Involved, right.
Oh, that's cute.
If it was boring, I wouldn't like it. Come on.
No.
No, that's true.
Whippersnapper. Okay, let's
talk. And the photo I have of you always is with your hair straight up. and you're pointing. Pointing or trying to stab your oboe player.
Well, it's different depending on the day. But anyway, so this weekend is our season opener. Very exciting times. It's our 19th season, my fifth season with us. And we have a big concert in a season that's based on togetherness. It's called Better Together. And every concert doesn't just feature a singular person. It's usually a group of people or a collaboration with a local arts organization. But the first concert starts with Beethoven, and the season ends with Beethoven. It's a celebration. The whole season is a celebration of Beethoven's 250th birthday. So, yeah, it's amazing. And so we start with his triple concerto, a concerto that when he wrote it, it was not heard of to write for three soloists and an orchestra at the same time. And with us today, we actually have one of our three. The other two are flying in today from North Dakota, which we've talked about before.
Yes. And, didn't you school there?
I had a symphony there before I moved to California.
Yeah. North Dakota.
Well, that was like a school.
And during the winter, that last 300 days, they have nothing to do but play.
Okay. So, anyway, those two, what are the other two? First of all, let's go to our guy here.
So the guy here in the studio is Andrew Swords, who actually played a concerto with the symphony back in 2016, my first season. And he's back here. He's a violinist. And he's one of three. The other two are a pianist, Diana Anderson, and a cellist, Eric Anderson. And Andrew is someone who I've performed with many, many times in multiple countries, all kinds of repertoire from, well, I mean, it's too many to list, but we go back at least actually a decade now. So we've been performing together for a decade.
You guys feel like you're pals. You know, you came in like, you know, you got your suit on with thongs, which is so Hollywood, baby.
This is my casual
look
today.
Yeah, you got on your velvet blazer and your thongs, and you got your coffee, and your buddy over here has got his orange juice, and you're totally dude-ed out. And here's the cool thing. You remind me of the guys that I used to gig with in Nashville.
Oh, yeah?
Never left anywhere without a guitar strapped on their back. And there you are with your violin, so...
Nice. I'm just on a little background music here from Beethoven.
Okay, so anyway,
Moonlight Sonata.
You can understand what it is to be with ADD boy.
Yeah, I know, it's fine.
On the morning show.
I'm used to Carl, it's good.
Yeah. So anyway, Andrew, I hope when we come back, maybe just play a little tiny thing. No, you don't want to, but you got your musician, you got your axe on your back.
Well, it's good to be here with Scott and Redding this morning.
Okay. Did he just pick him up at the airport? He just carries his axe on his back wherever he goes.
I did grab him at 6 a.m. this morning, so
okay.
He might be a little irritable right
all
now.
All right. That's right. No, you look
good. My toes have been curling already.
Your toes have been curling. So don't worry. If you don't want to play, we totally get it.
Well, Linda,
but, you know,
Linda
we admire
will work
you.
On him. Linda will
no,
work on him during
want,
the break.
No, you got to feel the flow.
All right. Got to take a quick break here with Scott Seaton. Of course, he's the conductor of the... North State Symphony, and has been as starting his fifth year.
Fifth year, crazy.
Starting this year, and this is the 19th symphony that you've done.
This is their 19th season.
19th season for the North State.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Hey, look, we're going to take a break. This is brought to you by our section. Is brought to you by Home Helpers. that she started this business, Sharon Clark did 15 years ago, over 15 years ago now, and has been a huge success and have been voted best in the North State every year that I can remember. Because she takes care of families. She takes care of families, whether it's 2 hours a day because of, let's say, an operation or that you've been injured and you just can't get around. She'll have somebody in there, or if it's 24 hours a day. She's got it all. She's got it all handled, and it's done well. She'll come to your house to make sure that it works out for you. And that's what her bottom line is, and that's why she is the best. Give her a call at 226-8350 or learn more at readinghomehelpers.com if you need assistance or somebody you love needs assistance. We'll be right back with Scott Seaton and the North State Symphony, of course, Linda Bott. 77 degrees going up to 97 today.
The Reading Rancheria Head Start program is a comprehensive preschool learning environment where everyone is respected and included.
Rancheria is really good. You know, they do a lot of stuff with the community and for the families. And especially a Head Start like this, they give 150% towards the kids. It's a really awesome program.
The program is planting seeds. They get more education here. So this is a great, great Head Start.
What I really like about the Head Start is they're really into their culture. They work on their language, both Wintu and Pitt River.
The Reading Rancheria is giving people an opportunity to grow, helping build this community into a stronger place, and they're very proud of their heritage.
Coming together for the kids in education, it's powerful.
The Reading Rancheria Head Start program is free to those eligible. Learn more and enroll at readingrancheria.com.
Planning an amazing party? Sit back and relax, mingle, and have a few cocktails. Exclusive private VIP space. Plan your VIP event with us. Call Group Sales and reserve the lounge today. 530-339-7454. Choose from a variety of options, each offering a personal touch. Customized to suit your needs. Up to 40 guests, starting at $250. Experience the lounge at Wind River Resort and Casino. Details at windriver.com.
Colonoscopy is the most effective method of screening for colon cancer and is the only procedure that can both detect and prevent cancer in just one procedure. Take-home tests can miss up to 1 in 12 of colon cancers and most precancerous polyps. These tests do not prevent colon cancer. Only a colonoscopy can do that by removing polyps before they become cancerous. When caught early, the survival rate of colon cancer is 90%. This public service message is brought to you by Reading Endoscopy Center. Call them at 530-246-7000 or visit readingendoscopy.com.
So what's scorecard scribbling's all about?
I was scared for my life at that point. I remember looking to the right and seeing all the medical supplies there, and I'm just thinking, are they going to cut off an egg? What are we doing here?
I had a coach that would come up to me on the plane, stick his hand out. I knew what he wanted. Who am I not to give them to him? Like, I thought, okay, job security.
We came to the ballpark every day. We knew we were going to win. It's a great experience, a great feeling to be on a club like that.
Scorecard Scribblings with Brent Weber, Wednesday night from 6 to 7 on KCNR.
Looking for a home loan? Omega Mortgage Group built its reputation on providing low rates and outstanding customer service. We've worked hard to lower our costs so we can pass those savings on to you. There's a reason so many real estate agents, escrow officers, and other industry professionals refer their clients to Omega Mortgage Group. Contact Omega Mortgage Group today at 223-1400 or visit us at omglending.com and find out for yourself. Omega Mortgage Group is an equal housing lender. NMLS ID number 1253874.
Reading Electric Utility cares about the whole community, and we offer an income-qualified residential energy discount program that can save you up to $400 a year on your energy bill. And once per year, CARES bill credit up to $300. To find out if your income qualifies you for a residential discount program and CARES program, call 339-7200. That number again is 339-7200.
Join the conversation online in our chat room, kcnr1460.com.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio in the studios of KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio, your town hall of the air. This is Carl and the Bot. It is 7:49 in the morning. It's 77 degrees, going up to 97 today. Weather report brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane. 365-3793 and Four Winds Jewelry is bringing us this segment. 2225 Hilltop Drive, the only full-service jewelry store in Reading. Open Monday through Friday, 9:30 to 4. We're here with Scott Seaton and Andrew Swords. Of course, Scott is the conductor of the North State Symphony, and Andrew will be the featured performer this Saturday night.
Violinist.
And he's a violinist. And I'm looking at Stravinsky Firebird Scream.
What happened?
Which is on Scott Seaton's YouTube page, and has had, as of 2017, it only had 2,500,000 views.
Well, across all platforms, it's got probably close to 70 million views, so it's doing pretty well.
Wow. Okay, so what is the Firebird Scream?
So in November 2017, right here in Reading at the Cascade Theater.
Yeah, it's right here. You can see it. Yep.
What happened?
We were playing Firebird, and there's a moment where it goes from eerily quiet into just a loud orchestral slap in the face. And a woman in the audience screamed. And then everyone
caught her off guard.
So she screamed. Someone said, really quickly, you can hear it in the video, she said, shh. And then everyone around her went, ah. Everyone just broke out in laughter. The orchestra starts laughing. I turned around and winked at her. And then everything just went. It was just an incredible moment. And
that's
I'm happy.
How we got engaged.
Yeah.
And so all you have to do if you want to hear this, we're gonna as soon as this segment's over, it's called Stravinsky Firebird Scream.
Mm-hmm.
So you can see it on YouTube. So we're gonna play it right after this. So it doesn't
get
interfere.
Into Andrew Swords. I want to talk about you.
Yeah.
No, I really want to talk to you, with you, about you, to our audience, about what they're gonna see or hear. Of course, what they're gonna hear, but you also, it's a visual too. But you know what's really great about wonderful music is, you know, it's only through the lens of your soul. So it's an individual experience for each person, of course, that's in the audience, because that tone can mean something. You know, tonality is everything about where it takes you spiritually.
Especially when the soundtrack is Beethoven.
Yes. So let's talk a little bit about your history and how you, did you come from a musical family?
I didn't, except for my grandmother. My grandmother is a singer and pianist. And my dad thought he was the drummer for Led Zeppelin and Rolling Stone. My mom thought she was going to run away with Bruce Springsteen. And then here's her six-year-old kid saying, well, I just saw this guy at Zach Perlman on Sesame Street, and this box of wood with steel string sounds pretty good to me. So can I start taking lessons?
So Perlman was your inspiration when you think about the seed.
Yes.
Did you then ask Mommy and Daddy, can I have one of those?
So I get my little rental violin. It was probably 1999, you know, mm-hmm. Kmart Blue Light Special. And I never wanted to practice. I lived across the street from a playground. All I wanted to do was play ball, be a firefighter, be a Secret Service agent, you know, running the bases. And my parents would say, we're paying for your lessons. You have to practice. And so I came up with a really good solution. I had the Hardy Boys books cover to cover. I put in the cassette tape. I was just telling the story yesterday at the high school. These kids don't even know what a cassette tape is. And I put in the cassette tape of Itzhak Perlman, read a Hardy Boys book cover to cover. I'd go downstairs. My mom would say, I'm so proud of you for practicing. Go outside and play. And at the age of 7, I'm thinking, Mom, Itzhak Perlman and his Stradivarius do not sound like me. Or the other way around. But I went to a couple of arts camps where I heard these very, very talented kids. And I was thinking, how did they get so good? Oh, they're practicing.
Yes.
And, of course, the better you get, and it gives you a talent.
Kind of drives you after a while.
Yeah.
So how did you begin then? You went to camp, and you saw these kids, and the click went like, oh, the reason that they're good, because you had this visceral face-to-face with somebody. It wasn't, you know, like television or through a cassette, where you went, in order for me to be like that, I have to do this. Then you have to go through the art of what it is to practice.
Well,
so
I would
how
go,
did that begin?
I would go to the Cleveland Orchestra almost every week and see these soloists walk across the stage and think, that sounds like a really good gig if you can get it, to be on stage and say something for 30 minutes. And that became my goal.
Okay.
And now it's been a couple of hundred different orchestras. And fortunately, you know, I had a violin teacher who used to say, some people collect baseball cards. Others collect stamps. You should collect conductors.
Okay, I love it.
What's this one here now with Scott?
Yes, of course. You're in his collection, honey. Don't you feel special?
Oh, I'm
so special. I've been selected. So, you know, I always think about what that moment is, though, because rehearsing and practicing is an art form that is such a discipline. And Scott, you know, you not only are a conductor and have traveled the world internationally, is that we also know that you're, you know, in marathons mm-hmm. and that kind of thing. So that's a huge discipline. So, Andrew, when did you realize, oh, this means I'm going to have to nimble my get my fingers nimble, do the scales, whatever it was that you have to do, when did you decide, I know I'm going to have to do this in an hour or two a day?
It wasn't a sudden realization. I wanted to set myself apart by being able to say something during a concert that maybe people who spend $20, $40, $60 a ticket could leave going, well, I forgot about, you know, the news cycle and my bills and my stepkids drama today, and just focus on the music.
Wow. So, okay, you wanted to bring a gift of forgetting for a minute. Then that's the beautiful part of music. All right, so that was great. Well, let's talk about your routine. I love to hear the routine, and we have about 4 minutes left before this segment is over. So before you go on stage, what is the routine?
Scales, getting the violin sounding good, getting your fingers limber, getting warmed up, feeling the energy of the crowd, and doing anything you can to pump yourself up because, let's face it, you're walking a tightrope. You're going on stage with an instrument that has no frets. The science of playing a string instrument that isn't the guitar is remarkable because nothing should go right. You've got the stick strung with horsehair, you've got the steel strings, and nothing should go right except it does. And so you want the energy. I've got tunes, top 40 tunes blasting the dressing room.
Oh,
I've got the Red Bull. I've got the spicy tuna roll. I've got the bananas. You know, I'm
the spicy tuna roll.
Oh, I've got to have my sushi.
Do any kind of stretching or deep breathing or mantras?
Are you asking if they're toe curling?
Yes, of course. Well, no, the toe curling happens during your performance, I'm sure.
Let's hope so.
Yes.
the whole thing is you're just like, you know.
Like an athlete.
Whether it's a heavy metal band or a violinist of your caliber, they all have their pre-game rituals.
Everybody has their idiosyncrasies.
You know, and you've heard anything from it's got to have a certain kind of chili from the Beach Boys.
Yeah.
To the old green M&Ms thing.
It's very interesting reading these writers of different artists. I was watching this thing on, you know, Jennifer Lopez needing a white couch.
Yes.
And Celine Dion needing her sparkling water.
Yes.
And whatever you do.
Right.
It's less about being high maintenance and more about doing anything you can to feel good because you're vulnerable up there and you're being judged one way or another, especially the ladies in this industry are being judged. And all you want to do is sound good and do your job and have
people
appreciate
it. You want to be relaxed when you go on stage, which is, you know, you can understand why some have had to resort to drugs or alcohol or whatever to take the edge off. Yours is a spicy tuna roll.
Well, you don't know. I think the edge sometimes is a good thing. I don't know about you. You want to have, I know we're going to get going.
No, I just want to talk about
you got to have your game on. Let's talk about tickets. And I know you do what you do to bring your game, your A game, both of you guys. Let's talk about tickets. It's this Saturday night, opening season.
This is the opening concert of the 19th season. It's Saturday night in the Cascade at 7:30 with a 6:30 pre-concert talk. And if you can't see that, come to Chico on Sunday, 2 p.m. in Laxon Auditorium with a 1 p.m. pre-concert talk.
Excellent. You guys are great. You know, congratulations on the work. Thanks for bringing your wonderful, positive energy.
Thank you.
I love artists and all their, you know, we're quirky. We're quirky. We try to rock a straight line, but we just got some quirks. That's all right. Love it. Bring it. All right. So for toe curling moment, go to North State Symphony this Saturday night. Tickets are where?
Cascade Theater box office. And if you guys have time, you know, maybe you'll give away some tickets.
Yeah. That'd be great. Let's do that in the next segment. How about
it? We can give away some tickets for this because it's always a great time. And if you haven't been to a concert, do yourself a favor. Go to the concert. Okay. Hey, look, when we come back, Stephanie Bridget, the district attorney of Shasta County, will be here talking about the investigation of the North State Symphony and the violin who was last night played in a brothel somewhere in California. That's just another story you just are going to have to trust us on. We'll be right back.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Rich Thomason. The White House has released a transcript of President Trump's July phone call with his Ukrainian counterpart.
According to the document which summarized the conversation, President Trump urged Ukrainian President Zelensky to work with his personal lawyer, Rudy Giuliani, and the U.S. Attorney General to investigate former Vice President Joe Biden. At one point, Mr. Trump says, "There's a lot of talk about Biden's son, that Biden stopped the prosecution." He asks Ukraine's leader to look into it, saying, "Whatever you can do with the Attorney General would be great." The White House points out that the released document is not a verbatim transcript of the discussion. Greg Clugston, Washington.
House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy says the transcript release sets a dangerous precedent.
Name me one world leader, regardless of who sits in the Oval Office, of how honest of a conversation they are going to have, if they're fearful that the transcripts are going to become public to the world.
And McCarthy calling it a dark day for the rule of law.
That a president's going to be held guilty without any proof in the process.
President Trump says impeachment will prove a losing strategy for the Democrats in 2020. Venezuela, the subject of a meeting in New York, President Trump hosting that sit-down with foreign leaders at the U.S.
The situation in Venezuela is a tragedy of historic proportions. The Maduro regime does not care about the welfare of their own people. They care about their own power. That's what they want, is power and money.
Mr. Trump says the U.S. seeks a peaceful transition of power to a legitimate government in Venezuela, adding that sanctions on socialist President Nicolas Maduro and his cronies will stay in place and are being tightened. New home sales rocketed higher last month, rising 7.1%. On Wall Street, the Dow up 155 points, the S&P 7 points higher. More on these stories at townhall.com.
If your family depends on your income and something happened to you, what would happen to them? You need life insurance, and SelectQuote can help you get it at a price you can afford.
SelectQuote found Jacob, 40, who's in excellent health, a 10-year, $500,000 policy for only $19 a month.
Not in perfect health? Don't worry.
SelectQuote found Tanya, 40, who has type 2 diabetes, a 10-year, $500,000 policy for only $32 a month.
We shop companies like Protective, Prudential, American General, and others to find you the company with the best rates. Give your family the security they need at a price you can afford.
For your free quote, call 1-800-880-7474. That's 1-800-880-7474. Or go to SelectQuote.com. That's 1-800-880-7474.
SelectQuote. We shop, you save.
Get full details on the example policies at selectquote.com/commercials. Your premium could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
More than 40 pro-democracy protesters have gone on trial in Hong Kong, charged with rioting. They were arrested for their role in massive demonstrations in July. The BBC's Stephen McDonald in Hong Kong.
Dozens of activists arrived at the West Kowloon Magistrates Court with a large contingent of the local media waiting to film and photograph them. 44 protesters have been charged with rioting on the 28th of July. If found guilty, they face up to 10 years in prison. Hong Kong police have arrested more than 1,500 people in connection with this political crisis now in its fourth month. More than 200 have already been charged, and 79 of those with rioting.
British lawmakers have returned to the House of Commons, this following the bombshell Supreme Court ruling that Prime Minister Boris Johnson acted illegally by suspending Parliament in the run-up to the Brexit deadline. Breaking news and analysis at townhall.com. Placido Domingo has given his final performance at the Metropolitan Opera.
The New York City company announced that Domingo had agreed to withdraw from his slate of scheduled performances at the Opera House following allegations of sexual harassment made by multiple women in two Associated Press stories. The opera legend indicated he would never again perform at the Met. Domingo had been scheduled to sing the title role in the season premiere of Verdi's Macbeth on Wednesday night, which would have been his first performance in the United States since reports surfaced that numerous women had accused him of inappropriate behavior. Keith Peters reporting.
As the UAW strike against GM stretches into a second week, it's not just the company and the strikers getting pinched. With many replacement part warehouses shut down, dealers starting to run short of components to fix cars, trucks, and SUVs,
The companies that make auto parts also starting to see a work slowdown. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott. This is Free Fire Radio.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio, your town hall of the air. The news brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center, caring, compassion, and community. Shasta Regional Medical Center is there for our community.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to our Wednesday edition here on Free Fire Radio. So happy to be here. Going to give you an update with the weather. It's currently 70 degrees in the downtown studios. It's going to be hot today with a high triple digit 100, lows overnight, clear sky, 68 degrees. Thursday calls for a hot day again with our temperatures around 98. And Thursday night, beautiful clear night with a lows of 62. Friday, sunny with a high near 86. And Friday night, overnight lows of 56. Saturday, sunny, 77. Saturday night, mostly clear with lows of 50. And on Sunday, the prediction is slight chance of shower. So we've got that on Sunday, Sunday night, and Monday as well, slight chance of showers. Again, it's set, really? Okay, so mine didn't preset. 77 degrees in the downtown studios. And the weather's brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane, locally owned and operated with. They give senior and veteran discounts. 365-3793. All right,
we've got a real disparity here in our
I got Reading weather 70. Anyway, so let's go to our special guest this morning, and we like to pack all that we can get in with Stephanie Bridget, our district attorney. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. So were you yesterday at the state, the city?
State of the city?
Yes.
I was, yeah.
And how, in your overall opinion of, that we missed it yesterday, but I mean, in your overall opinion, how was it?
It was good. It was a good lunch. It was good speakers, and it was, you know, it's always entertaining to listen to people and then kind of hear about what's been going on with the city and what the vision is in the future. So we enjoyed it.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah, it seems like all the news was about one part of it. It had nothing to do with the city.
Yeah, like the last 5 minutes.
it was the whole thing. I looked through our paper and everything. There was nothing in there about, oh, state of the city. This is what they said. The whole thing was about Mayor Julie Winters and apologizing to the Wintu tribe for the treatment that they had suffered.
And maybe this is what goes on, like as you're telling me this, Carl. Yeah, because people want to.
That's like a 2-hour thing.
No, they want to grab the negativity because that's headlines. But I mean, you're saying there's other things that were really positive and.
Oh, definitely. I was talking about kind of the trends that they're seeing with, you know, the economy and how it's going and jobs and housing and just kind of giving an update on everything in the city. So it was very informative.
Golden Valley Bank, in conjunction with the Chamber of Commerce, put out a business survey last year, and they update it twice a year. And I, you know, I've had the opportunity to look at it, and the fact is that the vast majority of the businesses here believe things are better, that they're going to continue to get better,
right.
They're continuing to make more money, that they're going to continue to hire people, all these things. So that's it is. We're moving forward.
Yeah.
And that's something that we need to get out to a lot of other people instead of some negative things that we happen to see.
Right.
I even see some changes downtown. Union Pacific cut a bunch of trees down, which I guess they can do. It's on their property. and cleaned out a whole area there, which did away with some of the areas where people were staying.
Yeah, there's a lot going on. It's
a lot
great.
Going on like that. So what's going on? What's hot in the district attorney's office
now? Oh, well, you know, it's kind of the same. We continue to just have, you know, a lot of cases, a lot of stuff. Our attorneys are never bored. You know, they're out there doing the best that they can.
Are we still losing attorneys?
We do, yeah. The last couple years, several years, really statewide has been difficult in all of law enforcement with recruitment and retention and everything because of all the changes in the law and the being overworked and all the things that are happening. So, yeah, it's still a real issue for sure. And it's harder to recruit than it ever used to be. We used to get well over 100 applications for every single prosecutor position that's open. And it's not uncommon to have to fly the position two or three times before we can fill positions nowadays.
Really, because we have a lot less. Well, it's the same thing when they're looking for law enforcement officers for the Highway Patrol. They used to have 18,000 that would apply, start into the process. Now it's down like, 12,000 and dropping. And you say, well, it's still 12,000. But when you look at what you have to go through to just get one class of 400 people, I mean, sometimes you don't even fill those up.
Yeah.
So I can imagine what you're doing, that if they're applying and say, hey, I want to be a district attorney in Shasta County, then do you do background checks on them?
We do, yeah.
What other things do you do?
We'll do medical, we'll do fingerprints, we'll do background, call references. I mean, it's a pretty extensive process.
Do you ever get things on the background investigation that just totally surprise you? Why would you apply for this job when you've got a felony? Did you ever see those?
Occasionally there might be something.
Really? They'll do background checks on like people who are doing lap moves from like a sheriff's department into the highway patrol.
Right.
And they're kind of in a quandary because they'll find something that's happened, that would disqualify him from being in the highway patrol, but he's still a sheriff's deputy. And so they're kind of like, I wonder if they know about this, that this guy's been arrested for this. Yeah. So
how many on staff right now at the DA? At the DA's office?
So we have the office-wide, there's 72.
Okay.
That's split up in all the different departments.
Right.
Attorneys, we have 26. That includes myself and my chief deputy, and then we have the 24 attorneys who are handling all the cases. We have a crime victim assistance unit, Bureau of Investigations, and then we have, all the very important support staff that we need to get that done. So it's a very big office.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, and so about this, give a rough estimate of, with 72 on staff, 26, did you say 26 attorneys?
Yes.
But you don't handle a case, you don't have the caseload, of course.
I don't have the caseload that others do. I have one case right now. My chief deputy usually will have one or two cases just to maintain going into the courtroom.
What's the case you have?
I have a homicide case.
Oh, do you?
Yeah,
okay.
And he has the same. So.
And that takes a lot of time.
It does. Those take a lot of prep and a lot of time, and we have a lot of homicide cases open right now. We're right around 26 open homicide cases, so there's a lot.
How many detectives detectives that you would have homicide detect? Because we watch TV, these things about how much it takes just to go into like background and cross reference and look up these files, and I mean it's like. So how many detectives would you have on board?
So each of our local agencies, Sheriff, RPD, Redding, Anderson Police, they all have a detectives unit.
Right.
So they're going to work the cases initially, get them up to the point where we're filing them. If they're homicides, they're going to continue to work with us to on follow-up. We do have investigators in-house that work with us to do follow-up as well. Vast majority of our investigators in-house, though, are grant-funded, and they have specific jobs that they're getting paid to do, like welfare fraud investigations.
Wow. Is that a biggie?
And stuff like that, yeah. So they're getting, they're specifically hired for that purpose. So we only have two investigators in my office who are what we call just general fund-type investigators that can do any follow-up for our attorneys.
So that's something that we can talk about in the next segment about. You talk about grant funded, and this is where we're talking about the tax, about how the tax can be helpful, especially from coming from your perspective.
Right. Absolutely.
When we say you have 26 homicide cases open, those people are in jail, though.
Yeah, well, so that's cases, but there are multiple defendants. So I think we're up to about 30 defendants, because some of them are, two defendants or three defendants. But, yes, those are open people who are sitting in custody.
Okay. So and then when you add that on to the your caseload, is you have well over 20,000 cases a year, right?
No. So we file close to 10,000 cases per year. But that's year over year over year.
Right.
Correct.
And but those 10,000 can go into several years, though, right?
Oh, yeah.
It just kind of adds on to the next 10,000.
Yeah. Cases typically, some do, but not most cases aren't going to, occur in 1 year and then also resolve in that same year.
Right.
It's a lengthy process going through the court system. So the cases do stack up, for sure.
We have to make sure they have all the rights guaranteed to them under the Constitution. This portion of the show brought to you by Crackmaster Windshield Repairs. Too bad we couldn't just do that. We have a crack in society that we couldn't just send him down to Jeff Wurst, who takes a special material, and he closes that chip. He closes that crack, and he guarantees it for life. Okay, you've done this. We're going to put this substance on you, bake you a little bit, and you will be a good person for the next, well, for the rest of your life. You know, Jeff Wurst, you know, he cares about you. He cares about his, you know, about you being safe, and that's why he fixes the windshields like that. And you think about it, I can draw a parallel between any of our businesses and crime, about how they could stop crime if you just used this business, like Alliance Heating and Air. You put them out there. Anyway, but if you want to get your windshield repaired by a master windshield repair specialist, it's Jeff Wurst. It's a veteran-owned business. I can't say enough about Jeff and how good he is. 3208 South Market Street, or give him a call at 241-8373 for an appointment today. We'll be right back with Stephanie Bridget, our Shasta County District Attorney. It's 8:15 in the morning, 77 degrees, going up to 98 today.
This is KCNR 96.5 FM of 1460 AM, your talk radio.
Come on, let's sit down together at the Black Bear Diner on Highway 5 in East Cypress and Redding. Stop by for a family-friendly atmosphere, bear-sized portions, and expansive menu. Enjoy breakfast all day with bear-sized portions of their hearty Bigfoot chicken fried steak and eggs, scrumptious bear claw French toast, and signature sweet cream pancakes. Good food, good friends, good times at a place that feels like home. The Black Bear Diner in Redding.
Black Bear feels like home.
We all had friends and family that were affected by the car fire. Most of the cleanup is done now. A lot of families are looking at rebuilding. If you relied on a well for your water system, it's important to assess the condition of your well and its capabilities to be able to meet the demands of new construction codes. I'm Ted Ogilvie with Diamond Core Drilling. We've been providing water well systems and pumps in Northern California since 1980. Let us help you with your rebuilding process. That's Diamond Core Drilling, 275-8162.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living, and wanted to share some thoughts from Dave Setholter about his experience having his mother-in-law, Mary Ann, move here to River Commons.
Originally, my mother-in-law wanted to live on her own, and she really wanted to be independent. River Commons has really made that possible for her to not only remain independent, but to actually grow and to thrive. There's just such a big difference in her peace of mind and her well-being, and that's what we really wanted. It's really been the solution for her to come here, and it was her idea after looking at some other options. When she came here, it was an easy choice for her. She's really happy she did it. She feels like she's home. It's enriching. She's meeting new people, really enjoying herself, and that's really what it's all about.
Call today and schedule a tour or lunch in a tour and see for yourself why our residents love living here at River Commons. Call 221-2121 or on the web at river-commons.com.
That doesn't happen to men.
It's not just a woman's issue.
It only happened once.
I will intervene. But he's such a nice guy.
We will look out for each other.
What did she think would happen?
I will step in.
It's just the way people are.
It's on us to change the future for our children.
We will change the culture.
Get involved. One safe place. OSPShasta.org/change the culture.
I'm here with Bruce Blake, owner of Powerhouse Solar. And Bruce, there's some tax credits that are coming to an end.
The 30% federal tax credit has been around for a number of years now, and it's starting to ramp down. And this is the last year of the 30%, full 30% federal tax credit.
And Powerhouse Solar sells and installs generators?
I'm a C10 electrical contractor, and we've been doing a lot of generators this summer. A lot of people just want to have the security to be able to stay in their home when PG has these rolling blackouts. And if there's a fire or for other reasons, it just gives the customer security to know that they can stay in their home. home.
And Bruce, what's the difference between renting and owning your power?
When you're a utility customer, it's like you're renting power. When you have a solar system by Powerhouse Solar, you're not only, you know, making a payment to an asset that you own, but you're stopping the ever-increasing rates of PG&E or REU. So that's the beautiful thing about having solar, is that you are now an owner of your power that you produce, as opposed to being a renter of power.
Come see the design showroom at Powerhouse Solar, 4616 Caterpillar Road. Call 275-5600 or powerhousesolar.com.
And now, Carl and Linda Bott. This is Free Fire Radio.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR, 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, your talk radio.
Sue's been playing a lot of stuff from Fame, Donna Summers. It's a whole era.
Yeah, well, we're in a whole era here. We're not sure what the era is yet. Right. This portion of the show brought to you by Cornerstone Community Bank. You know, if you want to find out how this bank can move your dream forward, head on down to either 1845 California Street, right downtown in Reading, or to their headquarters, and the branch is at 192 Hartnell Avenue. It's locally owned, locally operated. These are people that care about our community, and they're dedicated, professional, and they want you to succeed. Cornerstone Community Bank. We're here with Shasta County District Attorney Stephanie Bridget, and Sue brought this up as I was walking by. She says, what is the governor doing in our state assembly one more time? Well, now they're releasing, they're commuting sentences of murderers. And in case you haven't heard that, because it was kind of like snuck through, can you kind of illuminate this for our audience?
Yeah, so what happened just within the last 2 weeks here locally, at least on a local level, but he did this statewide, is a convicted murderer in prison for 40 years to life, has only served about 20 years of that sentence. He sent a very generic letter to my office that was maybe three lines long, saying, we are considering clemency for this individual. If you want to respond, please do. There was no date to respond, anything like that. So we jumped right on it, pulled people in to work on it, to get a response out, and made attempts to try to find out, well, when do you want this by? Because usually we get, you know,
right,
3 months or so.
Here's your drop dead date on this.
Yeah. So, and then here, lo and behold, 21 days later, in the paper, we find out he had granted clemency for him. And it was just very frustrating because what it took is a 40-year-to-life sentence, got cut it down to 25 to life because of Prop 57 and the case law that's come out after that. There's now credits involved. So we basically cut 40 years down to 20 years to life, and we expect any time over the next year to get a letter saying he is now has a parole hearing, and now you get another chance to try to respond and oppose his parole.
Did you ever get a chance to respond? Did you even get it out?
We sent it out, I think, 1 or 2 days after he had already been granted, because we had it. We were working on it. We were trying to get it done as quickly as we could, and we figured, you know, we're going to go ahead and send it anyway because we've worked so hard on it.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, because this is a 20-year-old case where we have to track down, you know, the investigator who had retired, the surviving family members, to get their input,
wow,
find all the police reports, assign an attorney to it to be working on it. And we did all that immediately as quickly as we could to get this done and get it out there, especially since they weren't giving us any type of a due date. We figured this could happen quickly. So we got that ready, and then we see it in the paper. We're like, oh, great. Well, okay, our response is close to being ready. We're going to send it out anyway. And it's just frustrating because we get these types of letters for people who are in prison for life frequently,
mm-hmm,
and we respond to those. And there is a set pattern. We get a notification. It gives us the date that we have to respond by, the date of the hearing, and it's always, you know, 3 months to give us time to track down all that stuff. So it's just really frustrating. It seems like maybe the decision was already made, and it was
Feels like that. It was.
They were covering their butt with paper.
Yeah, it was ridiculous.
It was okay. Check the box. We notified them, but we didn't really want to hear what they
meanwhile,
had to say.
While you get this letter, you've got staff that could be working on other things locally.
Yeah,
you need to bring to fruition.
Right.
And this is why we're talking. We want to talk the subject matter of something that's pretty topical and uncomfortable for some,
sure,
and that's the tax.
Yeah.
And the tax we're talking about is?
Yeah, it's a, you know, it's a 1 cent sales tax, and that is going to be on the March ballot. And what it's going to do is it is specifically tailored to law enforcement. It's going to come to Sheriff's Office, Reading Police, Anderson Police, my office, public defenders, and probation, so that the entire system gets the boost in revenue that they need to take care of what needs to be done in our community. It's not going to go to clean up pensions. It's not going to go into the general fund for, you know, a new park or whatever it may be. It's going, it is written into it that it is specifically for public safety in the law, in our law enforcement needs. And it's something, you know, I'm not someone who is loves taxes, but this is, you know, this is a tax that if it were to pass, actually is beneficial to our community and beneficial to my office. And that's kind of what I can speak a lot to in the system as a whole.
I'd like to know how that bill is written, because sometimes when you're reading something on a ballot, it's backwards.
Mm-hmm.
So you'll come on again and we'll drive it. We're going to drive it so that when people, if they're listening, it may read yes on the no, and you're thinking, unless you've really investigated the way the bill is written,
right,
or whatever that headline is to mark yes or no,
right,
how it's written.
Right, because some of them yes means
yes.
Is a no vote,
yes,
to what,
yes,
you
but
really want.
It's a tricky, yeah, dicky.
But we've got control of that. Or when I say we, yeah, the city, the board of supervisors says, I think it's going to be pretty clear, mm-hmm, that if you vote for a yes here. Now, here's the question is, and I've asked the sheriff and other people, that we're talking about another 400 to 500 people that are going to be then could be incarcerated.
Mm-hmm.
Now that doesn't mean all in one facility though.
Right.
And I didn't realize that until a few weeks ago. I just thought they're going to build another tower there.
Right.
But it's not. It's going to be like, you will have places you can put in, I guess, medium security.
Right.
I guess everybody's going to be like medium or low security, and then use the original jail as for more high security.
Yeah, absolutely. Because our existing jail right now is just fine for our, yeah, higher security, violent,
sure,
crimes, homicides, and stuff. But what we really need in our community is ability to have a little bit of a minimum or lower security,
sure,
facility for some of the, you know, AB 109 felony offenders that aren't, you know, they're not beating people up, but they're stealing all your cars and breaking into your,
right,
business.
They're not. They're nonviolent, but,
right,
they are affecting our way of life here.
Right, or our misdemeanor offenders,
sure,
who are stealing from your businesses or sleeping in front of your businesses and leaving drug paraphernalia in front of your. So it's a facility for them that's also going to have in their resources to change their life. You know, if they're addicted to drugs, there's going to be, you know, programs for that or mental health services and all that. So the idea is to hold them accountable, get them off of the streets for the crimes that they have committed, but then also work with them and do what they can before they're released so that they don't return to that life of crime. And then outside of that, there's also going to be looking at the ability to work facility so they can have that work release component back out.
A few minutes left. Let's try to go to the phones here and get Terry why he's got a question, and then we're going to take a break. Maybe you can answer that beforehand. Terry, you're on live.
Yeah, maybe she. I'll just ask the questions, and then maybe Stephanie can answer them afterwards. And Stephanie, I know that you were great when you came to our meeting. It was really good to hear about all the different things that are going on, and I feel for you on this whole thing about the death penalty and the reduced sentences. It's just crazy. Anyway, the question I have, number one, is that nobody seems to know where any of the money is going. No one can tell us about the AB 109 money. We have AB 109 money where, at the end of the year, the jail had $550 left, and probation had $1,400,000 left. Joe Comenti didn't even know those statistics. In fact, he tried to get them from us, and he's right down the hall from that. We had city council, and they don't know where the money's going to. There's unfunded liability. We had a study that said we don't need any more policemen, that we paid $155,000 for. We needed more community officers. We need to get the community involved, maybe a community watch program. Maybe we should have 21650Bs issued, open carry permits, which is legal. I mean, really and truly, hiring more police has never been the answer. We've never had enough. We'll never have enough. We'll never have enough help, and there'll never be enough money. So really and truly, maybe the community needs to start acting more proactively with the law enforcement, which you're doing a great job, and they're stretched, but they always will be. So I'd like you to respond to that.
Okay.
Thanks, Terry.
Thanks, Terry.
And I tell you what, we're going to break, and then we're going to come back and let you respond to that.
Okay, thank
you. Because I've got them all written down,
okay.
too. Yeah, I've got most of them written down, too. You know, and what Terry's really, you know, Terry's brought this up several times, that, there, you know, the money that's in the community policing, what is it, the community, what is it, the group you all have?
CCP?
CCP.
Yeah.
Community.
I kind of remember what that acronym stands for.
Yeah, to do community policing.
Yeah, but it's basically for the ABA 109 funds.
Right.
Where
that goes to. And this is not the first time, Terry, because I remember Sheriff Basenko bringing this up like a couple of years ago. There was $4 million in a that was still there when we had no money for police or for the jail, and what should we do with it and all that. Anyway, we're going to take a quick break. This portion of the show brought to you by Cypress Square Barbershop right off of Athens Avenue. Cypress Square Barbershop is a veteran-owned business that gives discounts for seniors and veterans. Man's last stronghold, Cypress Square Barbershop. We'll be right back after these messages with Stephanie Bridget, Shasta County District Attorney.
For 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300, a reputation for excellence since 1965.
Hi, this is Chuck Kinney of Shasta Gas Propane. Our company motto is, our customers are warm friends. We are demonstrating our commitment to this motto by helping those in our area that lost their homes in the car fire and are moving onto their property in an RV during the rebuilding process. We can hook up a 120-gallon propane tank to your RV gas system and deliver gas to your property so you won't have to disconnect your 7-gallon cylinder and take it somewhere to get it filled, then reconnect it and relight your pilots. We will deliver and connect the tank at no charge, then discount the price of the propane. Give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793. We want to help you during this stressful time.
For over 45 years, Clyde's Home Entertainment is the place people turn to for locally owned expert advice on electronics that turn your home into a theater. Clyde's goes the extra mile for their customers. They have a huge selection of audio and video accessories and equipment. Whether it's the latest 4K television or a hard-to-find accessory, Clyde's is the place for all your home electronic needs. Clyde's is a full-service dealer for Samsung, Klipsch, Yamaha, LG, and more. They offer full-service Dish Network. Be sure to ask about the current monthly specials. The original, and still the best, Clyde's Enterprises, 1250 Hartnell and Reading. They have it all. 221-4144. That's 221-4144. Clyde's.
At Shasta Regional Medical Group, we're focused on the health matters that matter to you, like preventive care. Our physicians are committed to keeping you healthy with the right vaccines and wellness checks for your children. For seniors, we can review prescriptions to make sure you're on track. At Shasta Regional Medical Group, you have an integrated network of caregivers and specialists working to serve you in a compassionate, patient-centered environment. We're conveniently located right across the street from Shasta Regional Medical Center. To make an appointment, call Shasta Regional Medical Group today at 605-4260 or visit us online at ShastaRegionalMedicalGroup.com. Shasta Regional Medical Group. Your primary care is our primary concern.
Join the conversation online in our chat room, KCNR1460.com.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR. 96.5 FM at 1460 AM, your talk radio, your town hall of the air here. Right now, this portion of the show brought to you by B&T Satellite. B&T Satellite has special deals for our military and first responders and also for those over 55. No receiver or plan restrictions, free movie rental fees each month, but you've got to call them at 241-3474-241-DISH. Call our local guys, B&T Satellite, to find out these great deals, these gift certificates that are floating around out there that can really help you get started with it. They also have a plan that can help you get local channels with less problems. Right now, B&T Satellite. Hey, we're here with Stephanie Bridget, Shasta County DA. We talked about the tax, and Terry called in and had questions about AB 109 has money, it seems like, in a surplus. When the sheriff's, you know, when the jails got down to $500, they've got $1.something million. It's not a first time that kind of stuff's happened when there's been a surplus. But can you address that?
Sure. So the AB 109 did come along with some money. There's some that's specifically designated that's going to come to my office and to the public defenders, enough to fund about one prosecutor in my office, one public defender in his office to offset some of the impact, which is not enough to offset the entire impact of AB 109. And so there are some designated, and then there's additional money that the committee is going to be deciding year over year what's going to be funded. There's a lot of programs funded. There's program in my office being funded that's kind of a diversion and a restitution collection program that the CCP is funding. The CCP funds portions of the jail, out of county beds, a lot of rehabilitative programs through the probation department, some social workers in the public defender's office. So each year we are looking at the money that we have and we're saying, okay, where are the needs? What do we need? And funding that. And throughout the year, the sheriff has frequently come back and said, okay, we're running low. This is our need. We need to fund more out of county beds. That's voted on and that additional money is given. We are not funding, let's say there's, you know, $5 million, and I'm just throwing that number out. Each year we're not allocating so that we spend all $5 million. There's always going to be a little extra so we can have it rolled over into the next year. We're not running it down to zero to make sure, because year over year we don't know exactly how much we're going to get from the state through these AB 109 funds, and we got to make sure we have enough in reserves year over year to continue the funding of all the programs that we have. So that's kind of the way it's been working. But that is the only change in the law that has come with funding. And I think that's a very important point to make. It didn't come with enough funding to fund everything it needed to offset the impacts of AB 109.
Like he said it would.
And it didn't.
And it didn't.
And then since then, we've had Prop 47, Prop 57, SB 1437, and just numerous other changes.
What's 1437?
That's the change in the felony murder.
Oh, that one that just came out. Okay,
yeah.
1437.
Which started January of this year, and we've had 21 petitions that have taken pretty much a full-time prosecutor to respond to those.
Because they want their cases reduced then, right?
They want, they were convicted of murder under the felony murder rule, and they feel like this change in the law should get them basically released or get a lower sentence. So it's been a huge fighting those cases and saying no and standing up to that change in the law. So I can just go on and on of all the different changes in the law since AB 109 that have put an enormous amount of work on my office, on public defenders, what the community is seeing because of that. And those have not come with additional funding.
Right. And then if we send people to jail because they're doing bad things, they reduce the amount of funds coming down because you guys aren't keeping them in the county jail, so you need less money. You know, I mean, this thing is so ridiculous. The state solved their problem by just throwing people out of jail that should be there and dropped it on the counties and the cities to take care of who were not set up for this.
That's correct. And then penalizing us if we do actually send somebody to a state prison.
And so that now with the new tax, how many more prosecutors would you get on this?
We would be in a position to get at least 5 new prosecutors, as well as adding to our Bureau of Investigations at about the same level, 4 or 5, between investigators and techs, as well as the support staff that's needed, which is huge. That's going to be able to address not only these retroactive issues that we have with, you know, the propositions and legislation I just talked about, but also get a manageable caseload so cases aren't, you know, 2 or 3 years old before they go to trial, so that our attorneys aren't working 7 days a week, 10 hours a day, and ultimately deciding they want to go to a different job that, you know, could pay them more and have less hours.
And it's, you know, it's more than that. It's also civil cases, like just doing a conservatorship. There has to be somebody there. Oh, that's not from your office. It was the public defenders.
Right.
But he was sitting there. I swear it was at least a foot high, maybe more of files that he was in there that day to do.
Right.
And in that day, he said, when they called ours, he goes, I don't have that one. And the judge goes, looks at him, she looks at me, she looks at the lady that's, you know, that was trying to get to conservatorship, looks back at him, looks at me, she says, well, I'm going to grant that anyway. It's been going on long enough, but I could see that because he's going, I mean, he must have had 60 cases in front of him.
We take hundreds of cases to court every day.
Wow.
If not close to 1,000 cases taken between all of our departments.
Is that Terry back on the
Terry's
phone?
Yeah, Terry's back on the phone, wants another question.
Okay.
Good morning, Terry.
Yeah, just real quick. And I, you know, that the funds, with all due respect, Stephanie, are not accurate. You got over $9 million last year. It's also not accurate that you can't vote on giving people more money, because you can. So, I mean, the real deal is that the statistics of more money coming out, you go get more money again. You know, I mean, no one knows where the money's going. No one knows the city where the money's going. Again, we'll never have enough police. Your workload is crazy. I agree with you. You do a great job. There is nobody complaining about the job. But the way California is, it's not going to change. We have to do something outside the box, a community watch. You know, again,
I think they have community watch
to the people who have concealed carry.
I think they have. I think they have neighborhood watches all over the place.
No, I'm talking about community watch. There is a difference. Okay, so the thing is that, you know, what we have to do is think outside the box. But really and truly, I kind of apologize for asking you the question, Stephanie, because obviously you don't have the information and you really shouldn't have to have it. But we can't seem to get to the bottom of how we can get it. And the people who are wanting to pass all these taxes don't have any information on this stuff. But it's almost $10 million now. But anyway, thanks again for all you do. And you know, gosh, we've just got to think outside the box. If you trust them with CCWs, why don't you trust them with open carry? I mean, who's going to get nervous and who are we controlling, the people? Or are we controlling the criminals? Which one? Thank you, Terry, again for all you do.
All right. So what say you on that?
Well, you know, I wasn't trying to give exact numbers.
You just said let's use 5 million.
Let's just use 5 million as an example. And, yes, we do throughout the year vote on giving additional money. Like I gave the example of the sheriff coming in mid-year saying, you know, we're running low on this area. I could use to send an extra, you know, 30 people out of county. We vote on that. We fund that additional money. It's very fluid. We're always trying to vote to put the money where it needs. Almost every meeting or every other meeting.
And I think it's all in the open, too, about where the money goes to. I think those, you know.
It's a public meeting.
Sure. And if you want to look and see where all the money goes, it's online someplace. So I think what the problem is that what Terry is seeing is that we've got this money and some of it's being rolled over next year. Why can't we use it this year? And what you said is it's like a business that you have to be prepared for next year, because what if they give us less money?
Yeah.
And we never know, right?
No, we don't. It fluctuates from year to year. Some years and consecutive years it can go up each year, but some years it can go down.
Let me ask you a question about open carry. Now, in California, it's illegal for open carry unless it's in a county of 200,000 or less. But I don't think, and I'm going to have to check this, but I don't think the firearm can be loaded. You can have loaded carry, so you can have open carry, but I don't think the firearm can be loaded. I'm going to check on that one.
I saw that. I was up in Oregon in a location. It was really interesting because my kids come over to me there. Mommy, he has a gun. He's like, what's going on?
I'm like, it's got several. I mean, there's many states that there's open carry. Arizona, you know, Nevada.
Right.
I don't have a concealed carry for Nevada, but I can carry openly.
Right.
Which is, you know, I mean, and frankly, I have no problem with it because
I
somewhat know what to do.
Well, and it's interesting because the conversation I had with my kid who was saying, oh, is that a bad guy then? And I said, no, it does not mean that because they have a gun, they're a bad guy. So I was able to kind of talk to him and say, you know, there's, it's almost better because that if they weren't allowed to carry it open like that, they would still have the gun. You just wouldn't be able to see it, you know. So I said, you know, just a conversation with a kid about it that
because
you don't see it doesn't mean it's not there, and you know, it doesn't mean if you have a gun you're a bad person. Talk to them
not
about
all.
All of that.
Doesn't mean that at all.
Yeah, it was a great opportunity to kind of explain that stuff to young kids.
Be nice if we could explain that to the legislature, but. Obviously not. Hey, we're going to take a quick break. This portion of the show brought to you by Alliance Heating and Air. Alliance Heating and Air is the ones that we go to because they're the best. They've been in the business over 25 years, a better-known business. They've been with us for, gosh, it's got to be like 8 years so far. And, again, another company that we admire. They've been voted best in the North State and that we would wholeheartedly recommend to anybody. Warranties, guarantees, they have it all. Give them a call at 221-2642 or learn more at their website, homecomfort.org, Alliance Heating and Air. We'll be right back with Stephanie Bridget, District Attorney for Shasta County.
This is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home, too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
That doesn't happen to men.
It's not just a woman's issue.
It only happened once.
I will intervene.
But he's such a nice guy.
We will look out for each other.
What did she think would happen?
I will step in.
It's just the way people are.
It's on us to change the future for our children.
We will change the culture.
Get involved. One safe place. OSPShasta.org/changetheculture.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. Although Coachmaster is recognized as the authority and specialist in frame and suspension, we are primarily your auto body and truck collision repair center. This includes all vehicles, Lexus, Honda, or pickup trucks. Our technicians are highly trained and have the most advanced equipment to ensure a complete and quality repair. With our knowledge and the insurance claim process, all we need is your claim number to handle your claim. Coachmaster has a great working relationship with all insurance companies. This ensures a complete repair with quality parts and a delay-free process. At Coachmaster, in our 50 years in business, we've experienced almost every situation imaginable in a claim. This experience and personal dedication to the repair of your vehicle sets Coachmaster apart from all other choices. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Premier, your friendly oil change.
At Premier Oil Change, we pride ourselves in efficiency and customer service. We love to hear what our guests have to say about us. Mary said,
best service yet, guys. Thanks.
Gene commented,
always polite, friendly, fast, and efficient.
Pat wrote,
the crew is always friendly, and they get me in and out.
Lindsay said,
We always come here amazing and fast.
Come experience Premier Oil Change for yourself. Our trained technicians will take care of your maintenance while you wait in the comfort and safety of your vehicle. Enjoy free beverages and Wi-Fi while we do the rest. No appointment required, just drive in. Stop by a Premier Oil Change near you today. Visit us in Palisadro. Premier is in the Holiday Market Shopping Center or in Redding on Lake Boulevard next to Waterworks Park. Both locations get you a free car wash with every oil change. Premier Oil Change, home of the friendly oil change.
Premier, your friendly oil change. Premier, your friendly oil change.
And now, back to our show.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Your talk radio, Linda.
Good morning, everybody, and this is a beautiful day. I want to do a quick update with the weather. It's currently 80 degrees, and we're right around there. With our highs today, we'll be 100 and our lows of 68. Thursday calls for a high of 98 and overnight lows of 62. And as we progress, Friday, 86, Saturday, 77, Sunday, chance of showers. Can't wait to get in the garden and start working on what before the showers start. Weather's brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane, locally owned. 365-3793.
Okay, there's been many laws that have reached the desk of the governor who has, I don't know if he signed every one of them, but my favorite, the one that gets me rolling around on the floor, gnashing my teeth and kicking my feet, is this one about the pre-diversion program, where if you have been arrested for, I guess, almost anything, that if children rely on you for, you know, to take care of them, but this is the other part, or for the financial support of this family, you may not have to go to jail. You may not even have to go to trial. Is this true?
Yeah.
Or did I read that right?
No, you read that right. It's already been kind of passed through all the preliminary process and is sitting on the judge's desk, or not the judge's, but the governor's desk for signature. And it would create a parent diversion program if you can show that you are a primary caregiver for a child. There's nothing written in there on what type of proof you have to show, but just that you are in some way a primary caregiver to a child, and you are arrested for a felony, misdemeanor, whatever it may be, you can be granted a diversion program.
I've sold drugs. I've stolen a car. They caught me.
Yeah. Broken into these businesses.
Broken
50
into these
times.
Businesses, and so I'm arrested, and my lawyer says,
"Yeah,
well,
they,
you know
they have
what?
A young child.
He has a young child, and he is, even though the mother's there, but you know she can't work because she's on meth too. And he is the primary financial support for this young child. Mm-hmm. What could happen then?
Yeah. So the way it looks like it's written, because there's not a lot of clarification in there, is this is a program that they could be given before they enter in any type of plea. So a lot of diversion, they have to enter a plea if guilty, and then they get a diversion program. So if they're not successful, they've already pled guilty, and mm-hmm. they can be sentenced, which is a good thing and what we want, because if someone spends 2 years in a diversion program and then they fail, mm-hmm. you kind of need them to have already admitted guilt, or the
sure.
case is 2 years old and now
right.
you're trying to prove it.
Right.
So this is pre-plea that they get to go out and have an undetermined amount of time. It's not written in there. And they can do it an undetermined number of times, get diversion. And if they are successful, and it doesn't even really write in there what successful means, their case would not only be dismissed, but they would get it would be like the arrest never even happened.
They'd be expunged totally.
Yep.
So they're saying, well, 2 years down the road, or 6 months down the road, they quit the program. Or no, let's just say a year down the road. They quit the program. And you say, okay, I'm going to bring you back. Now I'm going to charge you. But the law hasn't changed. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm still the only financial support for this child. Does it say how many times it can
no,
be offered?
No, it doesn't. I've changed. I quit the program, but now I'm ready, and I'm even more a supporter of this child, or I've had another child born in the interim. Give me another chance. I'm going to go do more parenting classes, more
who's
of this.
Who's the one that makes the choice or makes the decision on that? The judge?
The judge, yes.
Okay, so the judge could say right at the beginning, nah, no, you've had your chances. You plead guilty, yeah. And then we'll put you in a diversion program.
Right. But it also appears, because most cases, the plea bargaining is between the prosecutor and the defense attorney, and, uh-huh. And then obviously the judge has to agree. We can't just do some crazy thing. But the negotiation is between us to make a decision. This law appears to take that out and just say that this is something the defense can just request, the judge can just give, whether the prosecution's jumping up and down.
No matter what the prosecutor says.
And not agreeing.
This is so screwed up. This is the one where if you were I was just in that drive-by, I was driving, but I didn't do the shooting.
Yeah, that's the felony murder rule change.
Yeah, the felony murder. Oh, well, you didn't shoot, so obviously you shouldn't be in there for felony murder. What if you held him in child? Anyway, okay, there's a couple others, too, that are just...
Yes.
Do you ever look at this and go, I've only got 5 years. If I can make 5 years, I can get out of this craziness.
I've got more than 5 years.
But, well, I know, but I'm just... I can understand how police can go. I've got 5 years left on my sentence here till I can hit 30.
Yeah, so every year. Every year there is something new that is being signed into law that is dramatically affecting the landscape of the criminal justice system statewide and definitely locally. So this year we have the one we just talked about. We also have sitting on the governor's desk waiting for signature, convicted felons being allowed to serve on juries. That has been excluded for forever. Now, unless a person is a convicted felon and they go through the ability to get their rights back, which there's a process to sit on a jury. I selected a juror who has said that very much, had all these past convictions for felonies. She had not, she had been clean and no record for over 10 years, fully talked about it during jury selection, and I picked her. I wanted her on my jury.
Because she's honest.
She was a great juror. So it's not that we don't want people that have a past, but we want people, if they have a past, to have changed their life, have demonstrated that, gone through the process that is out there to get those rights back. Mm-hmm. Because otherwise, I mean, it is hard enough to get 12 people to decide to vote in the same way who don't know each other, and that high standard of beyond a reasonable doubt is very difficult for any 12 people in a room who don't know each other and say, you have to make the same decision of, you know, where you're going to go to dinner, whatever. It's very difficult.
Well, anytime it goes to trial.
Yeah.
Even if it looks like a slam dunk.
Yeah.
And then it comes out with a hung jury, and you just have to look at it going, what part of this don't they understand? The guy had the gun in his hand. He was standing over the body. You know,
you put their people there who have a record and are like, they're judging, to some extent, sometimes their peers, the same people who have committed the same crimes or lived mm-hmm. that same life with them. There's nothing in there to say that person has completely rehabilitated themselves before they're going to be eligible.
Does the state assembly, they just keep making it harder on citizens and the law enforcement. And when I say law enforcement, I mean that whole community of prosecutors, even public defenders and judges.
Oh, yeah.
They just keep making it harder and harder and harder. Do they realize at some point you're not going to be able to do anything? You can only stick your finger in the holes in the dam so many times before you run out of fingers.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not 100% sure they care about that. With what we keep seeing year over year, it kind of defies logic at a certain mm-hmm. point on, like, what are they really thinking? Because the effect that each of these changes have had have not been positive.
Right.
I mean, countless people who are in the system can explain to you how each of these things that have happened have had a negative impact on our state and our local communities, yet they continue to happen. We've got another one that's on his desk right now that would do away with prison priors. So if you've been a person who's gone to prison, five times, we can, as of right now, file 5 enhancements. So, which is a 1-year enhancement. So every time you've been to prison, if you commit a new felony, we can file a 1-year enhancement onto that. So it's potentially going to do away with that sentencing enhancement. So, if you are a first time offender, and you are an offender who's been to prison 15 times, you're going to be treated the same. The person with 15 prison priors, we're not going to be able to file anymore and get an enhanced sentence for that. Which, you don't even do that with, like, kids or in schools. If someone is a repeat problem, the discipline gets more strict.
It has to.
It has to.
You have to, you know,
and
because
taking that
it's
away.
Like, yeah, it means if I get picked up and I've never been picked up before, that the guy that's been picked up, just like you said, 25 times, he gets the same punishment as I do.
Right.
You know? And
it's not fair.
You don't treat your kids like that.
No.
No, I mean, okay, this is the fifth time I've told you, so you're going to sit in the corner for 3 days. I'm going to feed you a potato. That's all you're going to eat.
It's the same with businesses, too.
We've got to run.
Okay.
You know, Stephanie, it's always good to have you on. It's usually the third Thursday, but we got ourselves all discombobulated this week because we had the Turtle Bay Caffeinate for a Cause. So thank you for being able to come in today.
Absolutely. Thanks
and
for
talk
having
to
me.
Us. Well, you know what? Yeah. It's just so important. And this tax, my friends, we've got to really take a good look at this. I'm not for taxes. People don't know me for that. But if I know where that money's going to go to, and I know what it's going to do, because if you put more of them in jail, the crime level is going to drop, which means then we have less pressure on everybody. Police, prosecutors, public defenders, everybody, if they're off the streets. Hey, tomorrow, got another great show coming in. Trish will be here with me. And remember, it's the good guys against the bad guys.